Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the word that we've heard. We thank you for the reminder of how we need to be connected to you. And pray that your words will strengthen us to do that. Give us the courage to do that. And give us the hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A week and a half ago, I was at a one-day retreat of a Presbytery committee that I moderate. The leader was Harold Delhagen, who is the Synod Executive of the Synod of the Northeast. And at one point, he made a very interesting comment about how to be with God and how to be with other people. He said, "We need to be in conversation, not dialogue." He went on to say, "Dialogue is where you are trying to convince the other person of your ideas. Conversation, though, is about sharing thoughts and ideas without trying to convince the other person." Now, that doesn't mean dialogue doesn't have its place or is not important at times. I think it is. But it was a revelation to me because I'd always kind of seen dialogue and conversation as the same thing. But he pointed out that no, not necessarily. Today, in our reading from Acts, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch have a conversation sitting in a chariot. Now, there are several things going on in this story that we need to be aware of. First of all, the eunuch is not welcome in the church of Philip's day. In other words, the Jewish church of that time did not welcome eunuchs. There are some very strong proscriptions against eunuchs in Deuteronomy 23. And yet, Philip had been led there by the angel of the Lord and then said, "Go talk to that guy." It begs the question, who is converted in this story? The eunuch, or Philip, or both? They both are converted. In that in their conversation, God becomes real for them in different ways. The eunuch realized that there was a church that would care about him, that did care about him. Philip finds that he's to talk to all people. This is his version. Now, in another part of Acts, we hear Peter has this vision of where he's supposed to eat unclean, foods that are unclean. And then he's called to go and speak to this Roman person. And he realizes God shows no partiality. And so the church is beginning to break away from the clutches they held it within Judaism and saying, you know, this isn't about just Jews. This is about all people. This is for all people. So Philip finds that he's to talk to all people. Mark Davis, a scripture commentator on his blog, I love the title of his blog, "Left Behind and Loving It." He writes, concerning our Acts passage, "I really like the contrast between the sheep, which does not open its mouth in silence, and Philip, who opens his mouth in evangelizing. Is it the church's role to imitate the suffering servant, whose suffering takes place in silence like a lamb? Or is it the church's role to proclaim the suffering servant, to open our mouths and speak about the Lamb who was silent?" He says, "At this moment, these seem like very different reactions to the crucifixion. Our job is to speak about the Lamb, not be the Lamb, not be the suffering servant. I mean, in the sense that we welcome that we cherish being a suffering servant. Jesus didn't want to be it. He said, Father, I don't want to do this, but your will be done. And this hits me because there are a lot of words coming out of some sections of the Christian church today that talks about the church being persecuted. Because they feel that they cannot practice their faith the way they're called to. They always give a sense that they are victims. However, victims for the faith are those Christians who are killed for just being Christian. And that's happening in the world, sadly to say. Those who are not getting their way and having their Christian understandings enshrined in laws are not victims. We are called to join in conversation with those who are like us and those who are not like us, that we all might come together and come closer to the truth together. When we know someone's story, when we get to know how someone got to where they are in their beliefs, in their lives, we come close to them and we come closer to God. And isn't that what the writer of 1 John is talking about? Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God and His love is perfected in us. We love someone when we allow them to have their ideas and their beliefs and to allow them to share that, to share their story. I'm sure in the Bible study that Philip and the Ethiopian had sitting in the back of that chariot, there was a lot of conversation and storytelling. As they talked about this suffering servant and who it was and what he did and what he said, and as they talked about their own lives and how that intersects with their lives, it was conversation. But they came together. When people feel that, when people feel that they've been listened to, then they will feel accepted. They will want to be baptized. What's to keep me from being baptized when they came to that body of water? They will want to become a part of a church. It was true in the time of Philip and the Ethiopian, and it's just as true today. So we need to be about the business of storytelling. We need to be opening our mouths about the one who was silent. We need to live lives that share how the suffering servant has touched, and to share the truth of how the suffering servant has touched us in our lives. And we need to lay aside all of our prejudices and allow God to work through us to reach people who are looking for a church, people who want to find a group that accepts them and loves them and cares for them. They want somebody that's willing to listen to them, to hear their part of the conversation. There are a lot of people today who are feeling excluded. We need to let them know that they are included. They are welcomed and accepted into the assembly of God's people. And we need to be in conversation, not dialogue. Amen.